$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast, the podcast where we revisit and review movies from our youth. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Hello!
Hello, Maxi. And Brian Higgins.
The Maxi.
Hello, Bri.
Whoa.
I'm coming up with new nicknames this evening to go with our new microphone stands.
Oh.
You see? When you get a new object in the movie cave, you get a new
title. But see, this is something that the listeners at home or in the car or wherever they are or mowing
or
the
lawns, on a plane or on a
they
moped.
They don't know we have new mic stands.
I just told them.
On a moped?
I just told them, though.
It has literally
Do people
zero
listen to podcasts on mopeds?
Four mic stands, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, well.
Last time. Oh, maybe Vespas.
Write in if
Princess
having
Vespa.
New mic stands will affect your listening. Experience at all.
You want them to write like
send
old
a letter to our
calligraphy,
P.O.
snail mail it in and
mail
have
it to our
like,
P.O. box.
Someone on the Pony Express just bring it up to the outside of the movie cave.
By the way, Mark, you need to get a P.O. box.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I'll work on it.
I have one.
Yeah. Oh!
Speaking of P.O.s, so now some people on the streets call the police the Popo, and that's spelled P-O-P-O.
Congratulations, you won the spelling bee.
Yay!
So is this your transition?
Well, there's cops in the movie we did a reviews it of this week.
Yeah.
We didn't do Cops and Robbersons.
We did do another movie with a cop in the title, Cop and a Half, which is from 19... I didn't write down the year.
1993.
I believe it is 93, actually.
1993. And
that
this
may
movie
be wrong, but
we
we'll
chose
go
because, you know, recent news, as everyone is aware, is we lost a Hollywood icon in the passing of Burt Reynolds. Now, we as fans of the actor decide, you know, to look at his iconic filmography and, of course, not go with, like, a Deliverance or a Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, that was before us.
Well,
that was before 1980.
I'm just saying the movie that we most reminisced about Burt Reynolds from as children was the lesser known Cop and a Half. If you're one of the voters on the AFI, I don't think you're looking at this film as per se. I saw like a write up in Entertainment Weekly and they're like, here's his top 10 film projects. Cop and a Half did not make the cut. But in my mind's eye, this was a classic Burt Reynolds movie. Now, this is one of the things watching this movie again, and we'll kind of get into your guys' first experience with this. This movie was directed by Henry Winkler.
I know.
Yeah. I was super excited about that.
Emmy winner.
Henry Winkler.
The Fonz.
Yeah. The Fonz. I was looking at his past directing credits, and he did not do a lot of films. He did a few TV episodes and things.
I kind of liked this.
I thought he did a great job.
It was a good family movie. It flowed pretty good. It was more kind of Home Alone-ish at some parts that I would have liked, I think, but I think it worked out.
Now, some of the past shows that he did some episodes of are something called Memories of Me, a couple episodes of Dave's World. Remember that show with Harry Anderson? A couple episodes of the Clueless TV show.
Oh.
And a couple episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But, oh, his earliest ones, of course, going off of the Happy Days years, he did an episode or two of Joni Loves Chachi, which
that's
was the spinoff. Yeah, so.
Joni Loves Chachi.
Now, guys, when was the first time you saw this movie, Cop and a Half? Do you have any kind of memories?
Zero memories of this movie, so yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, really?
Right. I just knew.
I probably saw this in the theater.
I just knew this existed.
Okay, you did.
But, like, I don't even watch
the trailer.
I'm sure you saw the trailer.
Because I'm sure you had the same memory that I have of I'm Your Worst Nightmare, an 8-year-old with a badge.
Yeah, which was definitely a line in the trailer.
Really?
I don't remember that either. I don't remember any part of this.
Really?
Like, there was not one part of this movie that triggered some memory.
I remember seeing the movie.
Oh, yes. I remember the cover.
On VHS.
I remember seeing the cover.
Like, I think I saw it first on VHS, but I didn't remember really any scenes other than that line.
Two things I remember about this movie, because having seen movies that featured cops, when I first saw this movie, it was a different technique that the first time you meet Burt Reynolds' character, he refuses to get out of his car. So I remember that because I was like, that's weird. Like, the cop, he just opens his door and takes out criminals.
Right.
Like, he won't get out of his car. So that was one thing. And then, of course, one of the things which I think through high school I probably say with a friend is I used to go, hey, Zach, what comes after L? And he'd be like, Bo. So that was the thing we always said. And then one of us would elbow the other one. So, yeah. So, Brian, you don't remember anything besides that line.
Yeah. I remember the movie existing, but rewatching it, I was just like, oh, that's interesting.
There were things that came back to me because I thought for a movie about cops and criminals, there were weird takes that I had never seen in any other movie. Like, for example, coming back to me when you first meet the main villain and he's like a 50s doo-wop singer. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember the bad guy was singing. And I was like, that is weird. Like, it was really strange for me that the villain would be singing, especially when you first meet him and you have no backstory to him whatsoever, is he's just singing at you. So let's jump right into the movie. Why don't we? Now,
I don't know
about you, but I wasn't able to find a lot of description of this movie.
Yeah, there's no really comprehensive plot summaries that I've found. So
what I noticed too was if you look at some of the reviews of this, it's not good, but I actually didn't mind.
It wasn't bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad. But you said you were able to find something, Brian?
Yeah, I have just the basic Wikipedia. It's about a paragraph long.
Yeah.
So I figured let's just get that out of the way.
Just read through that, and then we can kind of see what fun
we'll
things
stumble our way
jumped
through
up
and
at us.
Figure out what we'd like to talk about. So Devin Butler is an 8-year-old boy who lives in Tampa and dreams of being a cop.
Florida.
Yes.
Yes, Tampa,
Florida.
I like
that's a detail that they decided they needed to include.
Yeah.
Well, it kept...
At one point
kept
during the movie,
Tampa
where does
police
this movie
shirt.
Take place? And then they said the Tampa Port Authority. And I said,
he was wearing a shirt Tampa...
That says Tampa on it a lot.
Tampa Police.
Yeah.
Oh, but he was also wearing a Cleveland Indians jersey. So
No. Burt Reynolds
was. Yeah, Burt Reynolds was wearing a Cleveland Indians jersey.
Yeah, he was from Cleveland.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Cleveland rocks.
Devin Butler watches police TV shows...
Like knows, Miami Vice.
Yes. He knows police procedures and plays cops and robbers with his friend Ray. One day, while snooping around in a warehouse, he witnesses a moider. It's a murder, but I felt moider.
Yeah.
Was,
more of the times. Make it a nor.
Hey there. That was a moider here. See?
That does sound like the henchman.
You're going to go to...
Oh, yeah. It did. Yeah, they were a little kind of forced.
So he goes to the police, who want the information, but he refuses to give it unless they make him a cop. They then team him with veteran cop and child hater, Detective Nick McKenna, played
child
by Burt
hater.
Reynolds, and they team up in a comic series of events to find the killer and take down a drug kingpin who ordered the hit. They eventually come to a mutual understanding in order to bring the killer to justice.
The end.
The end.
That
end
was
of
a
movie.
Super... quick synopsis. All right, so a few of the comments I had. So when we first meet Devin Butler, he's playing cops in the playground, and him and Ray have these water guns. And I wrote down, can you bring water guns to school?
Well,
back then
you could.
Okay.
But this begins...
We used to shoot bow and arrows in class.
This begins the game that I like to call They Couldn't Make This Movie Today.
Oh, yeah.
Because, number one, you couldn't play cops and robbers with water guns in school.
Yeah,
no,
yeah
and,
exactly.
And
yeah.
The two guys that, like, at the end of the movie when they wander onto the school grounds,
yeah,
you...
Oh, the
no.
two... Yeah, the
you,
two...
You
yeah,
get some
exactly.
hoodlums
yeah.
that are just
with
wandering...
No,
in,
with no like, chaperones out there or
right.
anything.
Yeah, there's no adults on the playground during any of this. No one chaperoned. And they're supervising these children. Also, just... On a political note, the fact that the character of Devin Butler is an African-American youth and he's worshiping the police, it feels a little...
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah,
I
didn't even think
I
of that.
I feel like it would come
wow,
across like propaganda in today's age.
Yeah, oh, yeah
I didn't
be
even
forced.
Catch that.
Be forced a little bit.
So that detail in particular, I don't think would play the same way if you tried to make this movie today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other details as we go through the movie that just make you go, wow, this could not have existed any time
now,
after
what,
like
what if
the
you
early
made
90s.
It today? Day, instead of the kid, it was like somebody older who wanted to be a cop that was kind of
yes, it's called
bumbling.
Ride Along with Kevin Hart.
And oh my God. It, yes. Oh, really?
Yeah,
they've already made it.
Exactly. They've already made it.
Oh.
So a couple of the child actors that I kind of identified in these first opening scenes here. So at one point, Devin runs into the bathroom and he spots two of the bullies that are kind of beating up a kid. And one of the bullies is the kid that played Sam on Clarissa Explains It All, the kid that came in through the window.
I meant to find the sound effect.
To do the Sam sound
so
effect.
So when you mentioned him, I could just do the...
hey, Sam. And then when he comes out, because they kind of take Devin, they give him a swirly in the toilet, and all the kids are laughing at him, and one kid goes, are you dunking for turds? And he was either Timmy or Tommy from The Sandlot.
Yeah.
You know, there's Timmy and Tommy. I could never tell which one was which.
The boy that was in the bathroom
was
Henry Winkler's son.
Right. Yeah. I saw that in the credits. Yeah. He was Henry Winkler's
Max.
Son. So later on, like you said, him and Ray play cops, and they have like a walkie-talkie that picks up the police radio? Or they just saw the car
speeding
away.
Why did you go really high there? The police radio?
Police radio? Because I don't know if he actually had a police radio or if he just kind of spotted this chase going on. So they follow the cop, and then this is when we meet Burt Reynolds' character. And again, I mentioned before, this is the first cop I had ever seen that refused to get out of his car. So let's listen a little bit about
Nick McKenna.
Nick McKenna,
see,
the
I
best cop
that.
On the force. The other thing I noticed watching this movie again is I was kind of shocked about how blatantly disregard for people's property that he had, because he's just running through fences. He's got the woman in the garden where she's like, oh, these are going to be my prize tomatoes. And he just like barrels over her garden and just destroys people's backyards.
Yeah, it's just their way of quickly establishing like he's a renegade. He doesn't have a regard for the rules. He's going to do it his way.
And that's when the kids are like, he's awesome.
Yeah. Like, and he's got snakeskin boots. So, you know, that was a big like Miami Vice type of thing. That's what Sonny Crockett, Don Johnson had, was the snakeskin boots. And
for these kids, and especially for Devin, who is growing up watching these TV shows.
Yes.
He is like a character who has stepped right off the screen.
Yes.
So it's a perfect, like, real life cop for him to latch onto.
But at first.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't perhaps live up later. But it's funny you bring up what he watches, because one of the things when his grandmother, who he lives with, is Ruby Dee, his grandmother, yes, who goes out to work, I was like, okay, so Devin's 8 and he watches Miami Vice, which was definitely an adult oriented TV show at the time. And he just watches himself, which is kind of, I was like, that's kind of young. And the nosy neighbor even brings that up.
Yeah,
she's
the
like,
downstairs neighbor who we're supposed to root against.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's clearly
she's
being
really
like,
doing the right thing.
You're neglecting this child.
Yeah. He's only 8 years old.
Babysitter for him. I'm going to call, you know, protective
but they
services.
Never did they ever bring up what happened to his parents? He's
no,
being raised by his grandmother.
I don't think they did.
Yeah. And the funny thing is he says when he gets threatened by the bullies, he says, I'll have my dad beat you up or something.
When the bully says that?
No. He says that to the bully.
He's making up stories.
Right.
He makes up stories about
it. And then the bully is like, my dad's serving hard time. And he's like, you must be proud.
You must be very proud, right.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be any kind of child movie of the 80s or 90s if there wasn't some kind of elaborate device that the kid has invented and attached to the house. So he's got this like pulley system that he gets
down. It's that like Home Alone-ish type of thing.
Or Goonies when he's got
Goonies.
The contraption.
I guess,
it started with
Goonies.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
Anything like that. The kind of contraption that's supposed to make life easier a little bit for
the
a kid.
The Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to play this next clip because, again, as I mentioned, it was weird when I was a child that the villain, his first entrance was singing a 50s doo-wop song, and that he was a villain / part-time recording artist.
Yeah.
which is kind of weird. So let's meet Mr. Fountain.
Hey, I'm the type of guy that likes to roam around. I'm never in one place. Hey, I roam from town to town. I love them and I leave them, cause you know that I'm the best. I hop into my car and I drive around the world, they call me the Wanderer.
The Wanderer.
Yeah, the Wanderer. Roam around and round and round and round.
Round and round and round and round.
They force you to. You are my idol, Mr. Fountain, my idol.
Because I remember seeing this as a kid and then watching this movie again. I probably haven't seen it since then and being like, I probably wouldn't be able to keep a straight face if this guy came down the stairs and was just singing at me. And obviously his goons, you know, they have to kiss up to him. But I was just been like, I don't think I could have contained myself.
Yeah.
The guy's just singing at me like that. So now, this is the actor Ray Sharkey, right?
Yep.
Who's like, he's from like an older era a little bit. Or maybe he's kind of Burt Reynolds.
He was only 40.
Passed away 2 months after this
movie. Yeah.
Oh, he did, right.
He had AIDS, kind of more like 70s. He was a crazy drug guy.
He was only, I believe, about 40,
I think. Yeah. I think he was only 40, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he passed away.
It's weird because Burt Reynolds was in a movie called Sharkey's Machine.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
Weird.
Weird connection. Yeah, so Devin was hiding and he sees them kill this guy. Like a really elaborate way. They had like a crane, dump him in the harbor. It was a really weird way to kind of take out a guy. It was very PG
style.
Here's
the problem I have with the whole rest of the movie. Yeah. He actually didn't see him be murdered. He just saw him being pulled away.
He saw the guy's shoes that had the jewels. That's how he knew.
Well, no, but like he never saw the murder. He just saw the guy being pulled away.
Right, and he was there, so he was a witness.
Yeah.
But one of the people that I wanted to note was one of his goons is played by Frank Severo.
Was that the guy who was
the guy from Goodfellas?
Which one was that? I was thinking of the one that was Adam Sandler's brother-in-law from The Wedding Singer. Is that the same guy?
Yeah. That's the guy. He was Frankie Carboni in Goodfellas.
Okay.
I believe he sued The Simpsons for basing one of the characters, Louie.
Oh, Louie? Like Legs and Louie?
Yeah, like...
And Johnny Tightlights?
Clearly inspired by...
From Fat Tony, because he got like the same hairdo.
But it was dismissed.
Louie talks like this. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, but like he was just coming off of Goodfellas because that came out in 90. I think this might have been his next role after that. So he was just kind of like he's a mob guy.
One of the other henchmen that we should definitely look up for the mini was the guy who was dubbing the guy who is in everything. And I don't know what his name is, and I can't even really pinpoint a specific movie. But he is just not the really big, tall henchman. The other one who was like balding. And ends up in the boat at the end.
Oh, that guy is
in like every single movie. So we'll look him up later. So yeah, after Devin kind of witnesses this, the cops come down on this warehouse, but the villains are gone. Well, not really, because that guy's up in like a catwalk watching the whole time, which was weird. Why don't they just look up and be like, hey, there's a guy watching us.
We will look him up. I just accidentally saw him and clicked on him. That one guy, 140 acting credits.
Yeah.
So you are correct. Yeah, and we will look him
everything.
Up. Yeah.
So when they first meet each other, let's hear about Devin and Nick's initial meeting here.
Nick. Yeah. Over here. He's been asking for you all night.
Hi. I'm Devin Butler. You can just call me Devin. Ready for fingerprinting?
Can I talk to you a minute? Have you got any idea what a sharp lawyer will do to a kid on a witness stand? I mean, he will rip this little guy to shreds. He won't know the killer from Captain Kangaroo. What are you trying to do to me?
Nick is all we got.
What's up?
Little boy, if you saw the bad man again, would you recognize him?
Don't you think a formal interrogation downtown is in order? And Captain Kangaroo hasn't been on air for 9 years.
God hates me.
So Devin is a very smart, but also a sassy little boy.
Yeah, but you know what? The whole movie, he is one of the best actors
he's
of the
very
movie.
Good, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in some parts, I'm like, Burt Reynolds was like, eh.
I did look him up to be like, to see, he didn't really do a lot more. So I guess he just retired from acting.
At some parts, I thought
sad.
Burt Reynolds was like phoning it in.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And because I think he just needed money.
I thought it was an odd choice that Burt Reynolds was in this movie because he is
it is weird.
A little past his prime already by the time this movie came out, so.
Yeah, I think they could have cast anybody else. Even freaking Nick Nolte would have been better.
Gruff Nick Nolte cop.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you get to that point, but I thought the kid did an amazing job. Even in that opening scene, it was like...
Kid playing, and he's like, you could have got shot. I could have killed you. Like, damn civilians.
Yeah.
I liked them both.
You liked them both?
I think in the end,
he grows on you, but it seems like a weird choice initially to have Burt Reynolds. I don't know.
I mean, I think I like it. It's just not.
No, I liked it too, but.
Well, one thing that I do want to, briefly talk about is, you know, you talk about how you grow to like him and all of that. The first thing that I thought of when I was watching this movie was Waterworld. You have this character that's kind of a loner.
Yeah.
Doesn't really get along with people. And then you have to show him getting this appreciation, growing fond for other people. And I never bought it with Kevin Costner in Waterworld, but with Burt Reynolds, I saw that progression. Like, I thought he did a much better job of showing that growth of developing a fondness
for the kid.
Well, that was the one part when he's in the the bathroom with Holland Taylor. They're like, just he's like, give it to whoever the other cop. Give him to the other cop.
The one has kids. The cop has kids.
Yeah, and then he's like, he likes, I don't know, oatmeal in the morning or something like. Oh no, cornflakes.
Oh yeah, he's like, he likes cornflakes.
Yeah, and
he's
it's like
he doesn't like them, but he starts to know his likes
exactly.
Speaking of Holland Taylor, so Holland Taylor is his captain, and she meets Devin, and they talk.
She's also the mom in Three and a Half Men.
Two and a half.
Wow. Two and a half men.
Rich is adding men to it.
Well, there is.
It's a new idea. You can sell it to CBS.
Well, so, I guess if Charlie Sheen stayed and they added Ashton Kutcher.
There's three of them.
So, yeah, she's talking to Devin, and they're kind of making a deal. So this clip is a little bit about the deal, but also, like, why Devin wants to be a cop.
Devin, my name is Captain Rubio. I understand from Detective McKenna that you wanted to see me.
You need me to testify and identify, right?
Yes, Devin, that would be very helpful.
Ma'am, I'd like to cut a deal.
He wants to be a cop.
What?
Shield, assignments, squad car, the works. And he's not going to help us unless he gets it.
Bring the criminal back. When you arrest them, don't go let them eat, just bring them to jail. Bring them to jail.
Yeah, well, give me 5 minutes with him alone.
Hey,
make me a cop.
Why do you want to be a cop? Look at this guy. Raggedy ass clothes, 20-year-old car, bad back, bad marriage, bad attitude. So does that sound like any kind of life for anybody?
But if you were a cop, people don't sass you.
There's a plane down there! Meet.
Raggedy ass cop. You're right. You could say that. I was like, oh.
Raggedy Andy.
Raggedy ass and Raggedy Andy.
That's a very different movie.
That's the porn version.
Oh.
I do recall when they're talking about Devin, I remember that my dad got a kick out of it because the kid is like taking the straws and he's like sticking them in his ears and he's like making really long like bridges out of them, which is what kids would do. It's kind of fun. So. That was kind of cool. Did you guys notice all the product placement in this movie?
Yes.
Like the giant box of Dunkin' Donuts?
There was a few.
I noticed that one specifically because I was like, it's so rare to actually see Dunkin' Donuts.
I know.
It's donuts.
Right.
For most of these movies. Yeah. So I was like, oh.
And then there was like Coca-Cola or something at one point.
But I mean, if Henry Winkler calls and says, I'd like to use you in this movie, they're going to be like, especially in the early 90s.
And in the early 90s, I feel like product placement was even more.
Yeah, it started to be more of a thing.
It is today.
Right.
Well, there was Spaceballs.
Merchandising.
That's where the real money in the movie is made.
So they finally do agree to make him be like a junior cop, and this part's kind of funny because Nick storms in, and one of the whole like dynamics between them is like Devin will do something and Nick like threatens to kill him throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
So one of the
again, looking at it through today's lens.
Yeah, can't do that.
It brings a little too close to home.
Yeah, right. So he walks in, he finally like throws his hands up and says the following.
For helping them out.
My grandson has seen all I want him to see, a police
work. No. This is going to be nothing dangerous. He's going to be riding with our department's most decorated man.
All right, Devin, you ride around with me for 8 hours. If you so much as think about getting in my way, I'm going to tie your little ass to the axle and drag you all over the city. Okay?
Nick? I'd like you to meet Devin's grandmother.
How do you do?
No, please don't bother with introductions. We're leaving. You talk to my grandson again like that, and you'll be wearing that axle.
Hey-o.
So he gets a little slap on the wrist there.
Yeah.
Don't yell at my grandchild.
Dress him down.
Yeah, don't you do that. So, yeah, so Devin's going to go on a ride along. So I did remember, so they start off, and it's kind of boring, and they're sitting in the car. And he's saying they're doing a stakeout.
He's like, this is boring.
And he gets a badge and he gets cuffs.
I think it's his badge. I think it's Burt Reynolds. Yeah, I think it's McKenna's badge.
Yeah, he gives him his badge and his cuffs.
And when he gives it to him,
I thought he was going to ask for a gun at one point.
Well, so when he gives it
to
him,
give me that gun.
And Burt Reynolds doesn't care about giving him the badge.
I know.
Right then and there, I was like, he does not care about anything, because if he doesn't need his badge, he's just like above. Yeah.
That seems like
he's at that
like
next
level, upper echelon of cop. Where,
yeah,
you know, he's untouchable.
Right. People
he cares about his
people
car,
know
not
him.
His badge.
People know him.
Right. I did start to remember that scene where he takes out his cigar and he starts the smoke.
Yeah.
And then Devin, again, he's a sassy lad. He puts up a stink about it because he's got some young lungs.
Pretty funny that he doesn't want sass, and you know, and then he does
but
it himself.
It's just so he can do it.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard about secondary smoke?
You heard about minding your own business?
At this very moment, the pink, delicate tissues of my still-forming lungs may be shriveling into green chunks of mucus, struggling for their last gasp of poison brown air.
Happy?
Now you're littering.
So that was like a very good scene for that kid.
Yeah.
I was like, it was very descriptive, and I always remember that because I'm like, this kid's got moxie. I'm going back to those 20 talk you were doing before, Brian. Like they said, the cop that McKenna wanted to dump him off with as the kid, who for some reason has all these weird like gag things on his desk, like rubber chickens and
yeah, it's very weird.
Legs and
yeah,
stuff
very
like
weird.
He's like throwing things at Devin. Oh, and this was the other product placement I wrote down, because they had like a full Pizza Hut pizza. That was it.
Mm. That sounds delicious.
No cheesy crust back then.
Are you sure?
Or the garlic bread crust?
Do you think Devin gets the pizza if he
reads enough
books?
Stuffed crust?
Oh, yeah. He could do the read
it. I think they had stuffed crust back in the mid-90s.
I don't know.
93?
I don't know.
We looked at it for the mini, too.
That's when we had
stuffed crust.
That's when we had Book It.
I did not recall the scene of them chasing down the leads of some guy named Bobo, because they kept looking for some Bobos, and one Bobo was a weird artist that would paint his body and slam himself into dollar bills, giant dollar bills.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was like a scene from The Big Lebowski. And then there was another Bobo who was fighting with his girlfriend or wife, so she was throwing out all his clothes and records.
But this was a good
baseball.
This
collection.
Was a good scene.
Yeah.
When
did
the kid
that
just
looked
won?
Familiar, didn't that Bobo
he did.
Look familiar?
He did. We'll have to look him up for the mini, because it was a very big part.
Yeah, and Burt Reynolds like tries to mediate it, and then Devin actually goes up to the window
and talks to her.
He talks her down, almost like she's like gonna jump off the ledge.
Yeah,
he's a negotiator.
He did a good job.
But the real Bobo was a guy at a biker bar who was one of these typical like 80s tough guys. I think he was like in some Arnold and Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Yeah.
He always plays like a street tough, if
yes,
you will.
It's Nils Allen Stewart.
No, Nils. That's a badass name.
With the handlebar mustache.
And the ponytail that just like comes out of the back of the head. He's got no other hair except for the long ponytail.
That's one of his actual images on
the
IMDb.
Just the ponytail.
Just the ponytail.
Yeah, that's...
You may know me from a ponytail.
I'm the ponytail man. McKenna gets in like a big bar fight. He fights like the entire room. He's just
he
like,
does
fighting.
An amazing fight too. I mean, like,
well, they throw him around at first.
No, but he ends up like getting some good wax.
A lot
in.
Of use
he
of the
does
pool
well
table
against everyone but Bobo.
Yeah, that's true.
Right,
Bobo's stuff.
Bobo's got his number.
And then Devin saves him by using the police siren and intercom. Pretends he's the SWAT team, so he clears it out. He uses his noggin.
Yes.
He's a good partner after
all. He has watched enough TV that he's figured out how to be a good cop.
By the way, did you notice, speaking of weird cop to something else team-ups, in Devin's room, he had a poster of K-9 with Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's like instead of a cop teaming up with a dog partnership, it's a cop teaming up with a kid.
Yeah.
So it's like the formula of cop team up mismatch going on.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of kid teamed up with adult movies around this era,
too.
Yeah,
I think so, too.
Like,
I think that might be a fun game for the mini.
When I remember watching this on VHS, I feel like there was a few others that we were choosing between.
Yes.
I think it was one of those.
This
like,
time around or originally?
Originally.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was like the parents were having a party and all the kids were downstairs.
Yeah.
We might have played Wheel of Fortune on the computer.
Nice.
And then we were watching a movie, and I believe we went with Cop and a half.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That was definitely a motif around the time. So then there's the scene where Devin spots the car of the henchman, and he's standing by the car, and the two bullies come out again, but Devin uses his wits, and he kind of gets them in trouble. He gets the upper hand on the bullies.
Oh, this kid's making me nuts.
Hey, guys, I can't kid around anymore. I'm watching my grandma's car.
Oh, so you're here with grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this is Grandmommy's car, huh?
Hey, guys, please, buzz me up, but not the car, please.
You mean, don't do this?
That's exactly what I mean.
Or this? Oh, too bad. It's my turn.
Yeah.
This is your kiss. Goodbye.
Let's get back in the car. Come on, let's go. Look at this. Oh, man. These punks got no respect nowadays. Get in the car.
I was like, wow, these kids are really good. Two pieces of crap, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just freaking... Oh, it's your grandmother's car? I'm going to beat it with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Like, that is hardcore.
Now, and on the one hand, Devin had a very good plan here.
He did.
Because he's
did,
like,
yes.
Oh, hey, they're going to get their butts kicked if they do this. On the other hand, if this were real, those mobsters would have murdered
them. They
those
probably would have murdered them. If they weren't goofy, comical, cartoony henchmen.
Yeah. Hey, use guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but we're seriously, like... I mean, to bully a kid, you know, it's like you're going to cause property damage.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little over the top.
I feel like we might be sheltered in our existence.
We might.
I don't think it's probably that far-fetched that people would go to those lengths.
That's true.
In Tampa.
I mean, come on. You've heard of Florida Man, haven't you?
That's true.
Well, I've heard of it.
Mr. Fountain pretends to be Devin's counselor.
Yes.
So he thinks he's in trouble, but then again, I do remember this as a kid, is that because he didn't know his face, and it wasn't until he looked at the shoes and saw those, like, diamonds and jewelry on the shoes, which is like, come on, Mr. Fountain, change out your shoes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be a gangster, you know.
You want to be, like, the most plain.
Success, you want to be neutral. When you put on shoes with these big old gems on them, you're making yourself stand out, and you're making yourself more easily identifiable.
Right.
That's not a shoe you're going to pay less and picking up.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly.
That would be admissible if you're trying to ID someone.
Yeah, it would go in the artist description.
Yeah.
Well, not that they usually do feet, but they could.
Right.
A full body sketch.
I'm sure there's some people that would like it.
Oh.
What type of socks is he wearing?
Oh, the underwear snitcher has now gone to socks. He's broadening out.
I have different interests sometimes.
I change from week to week.
Who are you?
I'm the toupee sniffer.
Oh.
I'm your cousin.
Oh, I haven't seen you at the reunion.
I was too busy smelling the follicles. They are delightful.
Oh, that's nasty.
So I don't know how they jump from this scene. Then they go from this to Devin staying at Nick's apartment.
Yeah.
So he's
because Devin freaks out.
Oh, like, he freaked out.
After Mr. Fountain leaves, Devin's
yells,
like,
Grandma! And just like, cool it, Devin. You gave it away.
Yeah.
Like, wait till the guy.
And that's one of the things that I was like, the guy's got to be able to hear you. You
exactly.
literally, well, like, yeah, the door didn't even around. Close.
Yeah, he knew.
But the downstairs neighbor's like, are you from Protective Services? There's something wrong going on up there.
And then he gives her a cheap shot, too, because everyone hates this woman.
Everyone, I wonder if her character's name is Marlene.
Yeah. Oh.
God damn it.
So obviously, he could identify this man.
Yes.
They're kind of like, okay, we need to put you into protection, so you have to stay with Nick.
So when he stays with Nick, Grandma at first starts fighting with Nick, and Devin breaks up the tension, by saying, this is the first time I ever heard this, is that he goes, hey, have you ever seen the show Boneyard Cop? I was like, Boneyard Cop? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, he'd always go, what comes after L? Bo. And then he, like, elbows Nick in the groin. I didn't remember him setting up that line.
No.
I remember him saying it later in the movie.
Right.
Apparently it's from fictional
Bart Reynolds
cop show
says
called
it.
Boneyard Cop.
Oh, and I'm pleased to announce that her name is Marlene because it's just listed as Mrs. Boyle.
Okay, so you're making up that she's...
I'm Mrs. Boyle.
I'm Mrs. Marlene Boyle.
What the hell?
This is how I talk. Like Louis Armstrong. I see kids who are neglected. And I think to myself, what a negligent world.
So moving on. So this was the scene that I was, when it was coming up to the scene, I was like, oh God, I know what's coming.
And I was like, I wonder what's coming.
It's the cross swords scene where there's an 8-year-old brushing his teeth and Nick just comes over, whips out his dong, starts peeing next to him.
I'm just going to take issue with saying he whips out his dong.
Well, yeah. He does.
We don't see his dong.
We don't see it, but
like, we know what's happening. He's doing. But, like, he comes into the bathroom and starts peeing into the toilet.
Next to a child. Like,
I mean,
you know, there's no privacy here. Look,
I mean, they're in the city. And, like, one bedroom, I mean, or one bath, like, yeah. You got to use the bathroom.
Also, if you're
wait till he's done.
He's older. What if he's got an issue with, like...
He hardly knows his child. He's exposing himself
to it. But if you're in a public restroom and you're at the urinal, you'll use the urinal while someone's
That's
washing their
hands next
to you. That's
a public restroom.
That's a nice restroom.
It doesn't make sense.
You guys. Okay, you go find a child and pee next to them. Not your own.
I think he adopted him at the end.
Let's hear about crossing swords.
Wait. Swords.
What swords?
Come on, it's fun. My friend Raymond can piss 8 feet.
No, Raymond's my new hero. Just what you're doing.
Come on, this will be fun. Sorry.
I wonder if all of you Cinemaniacs now have to go to the bathroom because you heard the sweet streams of Burt Reynolds.
No, I don't think they do.
Yeah,
but hopefully they're not on that moped that you were talking about.
Streams was supposed to be bad.
Yeah, pray to God. Yeah, it is bad. A scene I did really like is that.
Oh, thank God.
You didn't like the peeing scene?
No, I did not like the peeing scene, but a scene I did really like.
But you
when
did take the time to record the peeing
scene. I did,
scene.
Yes, because I do remember that scene. It's a nostalgic peeing scene that does not work today.
And just to pull the curtain back a bit, Mark sent a message to both Rick and myself before we had watched this movie saying, oh God, I forgot about the crossing swords scene.
Yes.
And it still didn't remind, like, I
no,
still had
I
no
didn't
idea
get
what's
it.
Coming
no,
up.
Coming.
Well, and you didn't remember this movie, Rick. So.
No, I don't remember the movie, but like, it was one of those things where even when it came up and he's like, cross swords, I was like, okay.
And also, you know, crossing the streams, Ghostbusters, like, stream is one thing. Sword makes me think it's going to be a more...
Yeah, not the stream.
Tactile
yeah,
sensation. Yeah. The liquid.
The apparatus is being crossed as
like,
opposed
which
to the...
Which doesn't sound like a good
well,
idea.
Well, crossing streams, is I've been told, is bad.
So the scene where Devin needs to get a story where he goes to sleep. I didn't remember this at all, but it was very funny that Nick starts reading him the newspaper.
Yeah.
And this seems like a bit of like an improvised scene a little bit. And I like this, especially where the direction of where the story goes by the time Devin falls asleep.
Once upon a time, Randy Milligan was released from a Kansas City hospital Thursday afternoon and planned to join his Baltimore teammates for a trip to New York on Thursday night. Milligan was knocked unconscious after he ran into second baseman Billy Ripken. What? Give me a break. It's a story. Milligan was knocked unconscious after he ran into second baseman Billy Ripken while chasing a ground ball on Wednesday night. Milligan sustained minor concussion and left the field in an ambulance. Tests Thursday revealed no major damage besides a concussion. Milligan suffered a bruised cheekbone. Actually, the doctors don't have much hope for him, and they're going to cut off his testicles.
So that happened.
So now we had the peeing scene followed by the testicle scene.
And the kid fell asleep to it.
Kid fell asleep. Yep.
But again, that was, you know, scenes that you couldn't have if you made the
exactly
movie today.
Like you said, the getting to know Devin and the warming up to him is that once Devin falls asleep, he starts smoking his cigar again, and Devin coughs, and he quickly puts it out because he's like, I'm damaging his pink forming lungs.
Yes.
It shows that growth.
So the scene that probably is the one that everyone remembers from the trailer, like you said, is when Nick kind of dumps Devin. He dumps him off on the other cop.
Because he feels like he's getting too attached.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't like feelings. And Devin...
The other cop is great with Devin.
Yes. Cause
oh, very good.
Yeah. Because like, he has kids. He knows how to be goofy.
Yeah, he's leaning into it.
Lets him play with the radar gun. And then...
lets him decide whether they're going to pull people over.
And they do pull over one. And Devin walks over. And it ends up being the principal of the school that scolded them at the beginning. So he kind of gets his payback.
I mean, he scolded him because Devin sat there shooting him in the crotch with a water gun for like a solid 18 seconds.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Far longer than he should have.
No, he did the... it was a different teacher, I think.
I thought it was the
same guy. I think it was a different teacher and he sent him to the principal's office. But he kind of was saying to him like, I need to call your grandmother and punish you because if I don't... You won't learn anything. It's going to be a disservice.
And he's like, no.
And Devin turns it around on him when he finally pulls him over.
Yes, officer?
License and registration, please, Mr. Fleming.
What's going on here? What are you?
I'm your worst nightmare. An 8-year-old with a badge.
I'm in a hurry, butler. And I got a nightmare for you in my office. You know where that is.
Don't sass me, Mr. Fleming.
Officer Butler has full jurisdiction here.
Step out of your car, please, sir.
Is this for real?
Out. Hands on the hood and spread them. Any concealed weapons?
No. I can explain.
Herman, if I don't do this, you will never learn. And I will be doing you a great injustice.
So he writes him up a ticket and says, due by Tuesday. I'm like, that's the fastest ticket turnaround ever.
Yeah.
You gotta pay that quick?
Well, and the whole thing is like, oh, if you're a cop, you don't sass anyone. He sasses everybody all the time.
Well, that's why he wanted to be a cop, because people won't sass him. But he can then have the sass power. It's all about the sass.
It is all about the sass.
No trouble.
All about that sass. About that sass.
No trouble. So after he gives him the ticket, the henchmen are in their car and they're trying to like run him over. And Nick, who's watching from like the above freeway, this part was crazy because Nick slides down the concrete and his chutes start shooting off sparks.
It's actually pretty awesome. It reminded me of like 90s like craziness.
It's insane, but I loved it.
Yeah.
It was weird.
For a moment I was like, is he wearing tap shoes?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, what is he doing?
But I was like, oh, he probably has like steel-toed cowboy boots.
Yeah, exactly.
With a steel heel as well.
I was going to say, steel toes aren't going to do anything. Steel heel will do.
Steel heel.
Well, but if he's got...
That's a good band
name. Actually...
Ladies and gentlemen, they were Steel Heel.
Steel Heel.
Flint.
Back at the school, Devin had, like, a false back to his locker, which is cool. I always wanted, like, a false back. Could hide things. He's got, like, all his cop stuff that's hidden in the false back.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
I do remember that. I was
it's
like,
only
oh.
Something like him and Zach Morris have.
Do you think he had a phone in his back pocket?
Like a giant cell phone?
Yeah.
It was probably bigger than him.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was that bag he was carrying. It was actually, there was no books. It's just a cell phone.
Well, he used a walkie-talkie. He didn't need a cell phone.
His walkie-talkie was phenomenal. Do you remember,
range.
Way back when, like, when you get a walkie-talkie, it's literally like you have to talk to the person, like, 5 feet
they
away
have to
from
be
you?
In the immediate adjoining room, yeah. And that's the only way. Hey, what are you doing over there? I can hear you without the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, that's when you have to cross the swords. You have to actually put the antennas next to each other.
The real definition of cross sword.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, I can hear you. No, you have to say over now.
Yeah. You got to make sure it's over.
Come in.
Your 20?
Yep. So like you said, these two henchmen were on the school grounds in the playground, which you just can't do. You can't walk up.
No, there is no supervision.
There's no supervision.
Playground.
And the kids are helping out Devin by creating a distraction. They're, like, throwing Twinkies.
Well,
and
this is one of the funniest parts because it was like, I need a distraction. Okay. Yeah.
And they all,
and then
like,
it was
get
like,
together, like, Ocean's 11 style.
Yeah.
Like, making an elaborate
Ocean's
plan.
Ocean's 50. Like, it's like, holy crap, these kids. And then they're like, how many Twinkies do you think? Why did every single kid get a Twinkie?
They all had a Twinkie.
Because product placement.
And there was no healthy eating back
It's not
then.
Just in the movies. It's also in your schools.
Yes.
You didn't have healthy snacks.
But
it was
also,
all Twinkies
and
Ho-Hos.
I do remember bringing Twinkies.
They,
do you remember
throw
Twinkies?
The Twinkie. Like, the way it explodes when it hits the hooligan. I've never seen a Twinkie explode like that. Like,
I wrote that down as well because I really wanted to know Rick's opinion on the flying Twinkie effects. I don't know. Did you watch it or fast forward?
No, I watched it.
Okay.
And it is pretty bad.
It was like, it was one of those things where they threw the Twinkie and it just hung in the air. It wasn't spinning.
You showed, it was just that slow motion Twinkie through the air.
A point of view from the Twinkie?
No, I don't think so.
It was just
a static Twinkie.
It was
just in place, not moving.
Yeah, I mean, I'm making a thing. Yeah, it was just like a Twinkie in the middle of the screen and then like the background moving.
Yeah.
It was very awkward, but it was fine. Because then after that,
it was like the
after
one
the
use
one
of,
sh-
like, here's the one use of special effects.
Right, after
movie,
that one
for
shot,
Twinkies.
They just threw, you know, 85 Twinkies at him.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
You never saw the other special effect shot.
Very Home Alone again. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But the henchmen kind of, they tell all the kids to sit down in a row, and they're like, where's they're Devin like, Butler? And then this is the Spartacus moment where they're like, I'm Devin Butler. I'm Devin Butler.
And they just walk away.
They just walk away.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's not here because there's so many of them.
Well, I think they threw something else at him, didn't they? Weren't they plotting and...
No.
I don't know.
No.
They threw more Twinkies.
More Twinkies, probably.
Well, and then they left. And then when they left, they beat up the punks again.
And then Devin was just in the car the whole time, so they didn't have to really do much work because he was badly hiding in the car.
Well, he was hiding nicely, but then his buddy with the walkie-talkie, which is now probably 45 miles away, was like, it suddenly
hey,
worked.
Hey, Devin, you in the car still? And he's like, I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
And there
what's your 20, Devin?
It wasn't the movie magic of you always, like, usually see in a scene where a character's talking at a whisper right next to someone and they can't hear you.
Right.
But no, they hear him this time. This is going against type, so... So they take him to the Tampa Port Authority, like you say. Nick, like, beat up Bobo or something and got his bike somehow. And he comes in and the henchmen are like...
Well, you don't know it's him yet.
You don't until he
they
uses
say
the famous Boneyard cop line to Devin.
Hey, Bobo, you're late. Everybody's waiting on you, Bo.
Okay. What comes after L?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G...
Bro!
I think that was Burt Reynolds trying to do an accent for a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, what comes after L? And then the dumb big henchman actually starts counting off his alphabet.
Because he doesn't know that M.
It's very close to your accent work, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Shut it.
Oh, what character was that?
The guy that says, shut it.
Oh, he doesn't have a very fun name.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the guy who says, shut it.
That's me, Roger.
What should I do to this window?
It's a nice night out. Leave it open. Nice cool breeze. Oh, shut it.
Yay. He said the line.
Hooray.
What should we do with this car door that's ajar?
Well, you know, in case there's a kid trapped in the back who's following henchmen. Shut it.
Yay.
Yeah. Nick helped Devin get out, but he got shot at one point.
Yep.
And they escape and they get on a boat. They kind of like jump this ramp. As the henchmen are after them on other boats, and they go right into this like fish gut company or shrimp. It was like a shrimp and fish gut company.
Looks like Bubba Gump.
And so Mr. Fountain just gets all this fish goo, and then he gets gassy because of it, because he starts like almost belching.
No, like he's gonna throw up.
I think it was more like a retching.
Okay.
Yeah, he's covered in it. They catch him, and he's like, "I'm going to throw up."
They've caught the bad guy.
That was a very
that whole scene was pretty
of a very long action sequence.
I know. Well, hey, I'm trying to move it along.
All right, that's
like
fine. There was a boat chase. They went up a ramp.
Just
they crashed.
The
we're
notes
good.
I have.
But going up the ramp, did that remind you guys of Face Off?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it did.
I wonder if Face Off did it as an homage.
Oh.
Like Nicolas Cage was like, we need to do a tribute to Cop and a Half.
They should make another movie and called
Burt
Cop
Reynolds.
Cop and a Laugh.
What?
With Nicolas Cage and a mismatched part.
I was going to go.
Burt Reynolds just drives around Nicolas Cage.
I think they should do Face and a Half.
So they got the bad guys. Now, Devin, after all the shenanigans and cop work, has decided that he wants to put his police career on hold for a bit.
Hey, Nick. Uh-huh. I want to put my police business on hold for a while. And be a kid again.
You know something, Debbie? Me too.
Great.
So how is Burt Reynolds going to be a kid again?
Well, I think he
go back in time.
I feel like he means he's going to retire.
Or
he's just going to, you know, take some time and not be a hard ass.
Or maybe he'll take rowboat lessons and then he can row Devin and his
Ruby
grandma
D.
through the lake.
It's this rookie of the year.
That's what happens.
Devin was a rookie cop.
That's true. That's what happened at the end.
That is exactly what happened.
And so, like, he's his new dad?
I think so.
Maybe.
So now he can go beat up those bullies.
And now they can really play swords.
What?
The end.
That is not what happened. No. Go on.
So, gentlemen, what were your thoughts on this movie?
Well, actually, I enjoyed it. It wasn't a terrible movie.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a little bit better than probably midway on our list when we rank it. I mean, it's not awful.
It definitely had the benefit of a movie that I enjoyed as a kid, and I seriously did not watch
for
a long time.
Well,
so.
And there wasn't a lot of things that dated it. I mean, there was a few like comments.
Miami
and stuff.
Vice, they still have reruns, but it wasn't like.
I mean, heck, they're bringing back
popular. Right, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Like
the fact that the movie started with a kid playing with a gun and it didn't end immediately after with him being shot
or arrested.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
You're not as cynical as I am.
No, I know. I thought it was a good movie. It was fun. You know, I'm not sure it's for kids. It's not. It's got some parts in it that are a little.
What do you guys think about the balance? Because there's a balance of like some serious things going on, but like
right.
the henchmen are goofy.
Yeah,
they're not like really tough henchmen. They even do that. I forgot to mention there was the shot at the end where that same henchman on the
boat.
Yeah, he's still on the front of the boat that's going.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a strong. It's not strong. It's a PG-13. I mean, it's like a PG like 10 rating.
What was it? Was it actually PG?
There's a few swears.
Yeah.
But
Devin says, let's kick some ass.
Yeah, they say ass.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Like, I think the fact that Devin is 8 years old, I think that's
supposed to be funny.
That's the good age for, like, a kid who could be watching it. Like, an 8-year old could watch it.
That's
and
what
get,
I'm saying,
like,
yeah.
Wish fulfillment out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like,
it's
good,
not for
but
your
it's.
4 or 5 year old.
No, it's not like a PG, even though I think it was PG.
Well, it's
well,
a PG.
Cops and violence is not in general for kids, like,
it's,
so young.
It is a PG in the true sense of PG.
Yes.
Where it's not a movie that you're just going to put on
yeah,
Netflix
parental
or whatever
guidance. Yeah.
And let the kids watch.
Yeah, I
agree.
It's
the type of movie you can sit down and watch with your kids.
Right.
And like you can direct the conversation when you need to.
As long as you know that they're okay with violence, even if comical violence.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they're to that level.
Well, he gets shot at the end,
yeah,
which is a little.
Shot,
Nick
well,
does
they,
get shot.
They kill that guy at the beginning.
Well, but
you
don't
see
it.
But it's implied as to what's going on.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was fun. I like we said, I did think Burt Reynolds did a great job. He's obviously, as someone around my age, I later saw a lot of his more iconic movies. But
like
this was
Striptease.
This was probably one of the first one I had seen of Burt Reynolds at the time. And yeah, the kid was great. I still, to this day, there was many times I probably looked him up to see if he had done something when he got older, and he just didn't. He just dropped off the map. So
he did so well as a kid.
He became a real estate agent.
Well, he was so well as a kid that he probably said, "I'm going to take a break." Who knows? Maybe he went to school. Yeah. Maybe he did
we'll
some other things.
Look him up for the mini to see what's going on.
I mean, who knows? We can hope that he has done better and not passed away since then, as some child actors.
Wah
have.
Wah. Well, gentlemen, any kind of final thoughts about Cops or Robbers or Cops in Halves or anything?
It was surprising.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I went into this with very low expectations.
Yeah. Me too.
But they did deliver.
I thought it was going to be bad.
Well, it's the type of movie if I were ranking it like on a star scale, like I put it in like the 2.5 to 3 star range.
Yeah, 3, a solid 3.
Like where I'm like, you know what? It doesn't aim to be anything more than it is.
No, it's perfect.
But it's
got Henry Winkler.
It's inherently watchable.
Yeah,
it knows what it wants to be.
Yeah,
I think I'm just a fan of the like mismatched grown up and kid dynamic.
When it's done right.
When it's done well.
Sometimes it's not. Yeah. All right. Well,
I guess that's all we have to say.
If that's all we have to say, gentlemen, I think.
You can go watch it. It's on Stars. Yeah. Currently.
But Mark, I have a question for you.
Yes. Do you want to go up to the upstairs movie cave bathroom and play swords? Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Hey Rick, stop the car. Stop the car.
I think we're getting pulled over. Oh my god,
you see what's coming up? You see what's coming up? It's your worst nightmare. It's a 6-month-old with a badge. He's asking for your license, Rick. Give him your license.
I think he sounds like a gremlin.
Don't sass him.
Oh.
Don't tell him he looks like a gremlin. You're making him upset, Rick. Just give him your registration.
All right.
Don't try to bribe him. He's getting even more mad.
I gave him some milk that I had in my cup holder.
That's another form of bribe.
He doesn't know that.
I can't believe you. Oh, he seems... Oh, I think he might be taking a nap.
Yeah, I'm going to give him his pacifier right now.
Maybe we should drive away.
I'm already.
Just in case he sees the 20 pounds of marijuana in the back.
I'm shifting.
Hit the gas! That's his siren, too.
Hey, I remembered one more thing. Shut the fridge.
Shut it!
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and our full movie reviews it of Cop and a Half. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD. Like us on Facebook or email us at thefivedollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes. And when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Well, that's it for this episode, Cinemaniacs. Until next time, hasta la vista, baby. Cops with badges. Go, go, gaga.